Rangers Rambles.
Forget the countdown. I think we're basically kind of starting now. You know what?
No, okay.
You know what? Who needs that shit when we're basically so far behind schedule with millions of freaking balls of shit throwing in our faces, huh?
Yeah.
But hey, I think for all intents and purposes, I do have to formally introduce the show that we're on. So,
okay.
Yeah. So to all of us, welcome aboard to the Raiders Rambles. I know we're so behind schedule, and for all intents and purposes, I am Jolt, the chief host of the show, and joining us with me is none other than my co-host, Avira.
Hey guys, what's going on? Hope you're having an awesome day.
And joining us today is a very, very special guest, who is half the cause of our problems and half the cause of why we are so damn behind track. Brian Snowdy.
Hi everybody.
Right. Hey, so kind of just introduce yourself, because many of us really don't know who you are.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my name is Brian Snowdy. Pronounce my name correctly, because most people screw it up. It's a silly Scottish name. I tell people that I wasn't born in America, that I was born in New Jersey. And, I moved around a lot as a kid, and I always wanted to have something to do with artwork. And so when I was 18 years old, I moved here to Washington State, and lived with my grandmother, and I attended the Art Institute of Seattle from 1983 to 1985, back during the Civil War. And then I became a professional artist. I worked in an ad agency for six and a half years, I guess. And then I worked in comic books and Saturday morning cartoons. And then one day I met a guy named Jesper Mierfers at a local science fiction convention. And he said, hey, do you want to paint these cards for this card game that's coming out called Magic? And I said, yeah, it sounds fun. And ta-da, here I am today. I started a company many years ago, co-started a company called Privateer Press. And recently I had worked for another game company called the Flying Frog Productions. And I left that company just about 4 months ago to be self-employed again. So I've had many jobs, wore many hats, and that's kind of about it.
Interesting. That's quite an accomplished life you've basically had altogether.
It's not the years, it's the mileage, Jake.
Well, when we all get to your age, you know.
Yeah, when you guys become old timers like me.
Well, so it's always weird how I always wondered that it was literally one of those difficult things to actually get your foot in the door, trying to say, like, because you kind of just, you know, when it comes to drawing for card game companies like Wizards of the Coast, from Magic the Gathering, you can just like, oh, hey, here's my portfolio. Can I draw cards for you?
Well, it was interesting because I went to this local science fiction convention. It was called NorwestCon.
Right.
And at the time, I worked in this ad agency and I was a product illustrator. I painted pictures of joysticks and keyboards and stuff like that, speakers and software box covers and stuff. And I had met Jesper Mierfers on a panel we did together, him and Chris Rush. It was the three of us. And we just got along like a house on fire. And so the next day I brought my portfolio, which was my product illustrations. And I saw Jesper sit behind a desk there. And I walked over and he worked for Wizards of the Coast. And I had met Peter Atkinson a couple of years before that. So I knew who Wizards of the Coast was.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
When you say Christopher Rush, do you mean the same guy who also did artwork for MTG?
Yeah.
Like that guy?
In fact, I will tell you the most bizarre story in history in 1 minute right after I get done with this introduction part, how I got started in magic. And yeah, that Christopher Rush. And I went over and Jesper looked at my portfolio and he said, this is the weirdest portfolio I've ever seen in my life, but you obviously know what you're doing. And so do you want to paint these cards? And I said, yeah. He said, well, we can't pay you very much. I said, that's okay. Yeah. And it turned out to be great. Yeah. Turned out to be gangbusters.
So. Yeah, and actually, you painted at least. Okay, so I did count about 100 cards that you painted for Magic the Gathering.
Yes, yeah, somewhere between 110 and 150. I can't remember.
At least, yeah. I mean, like, you made some pretty iconic ones, too. Like Diamond Valley, you know, some of the Duel Lands.
Yes. Volcanic Island.
Yeah.
That's what everybody wants. They want that picture. Yeah.
I'm looking through a lot of your cards at the moment, though, and there's definitely, you know, quite. It has that interesting, you know, hand painted, the artistic feel of it, though, like. Like you said, like when we were talking earlier, we were still in the whole, you know, the traditional brush thing.
Yeah, because about 95 to 97% of magic artists now all are digital artists. There's a handful of guys left, Randy Gallegos and a couple other guys, Donato, of course. They're still painting traditionally, but pretty much everybody else is digital, and that, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm not painting magic cards today. The last one I did was about 3 or 4 years ago, and that was it.
And then literally everybody else in the industry who said, like, it was like, Brian, can you get with the times, please?
Yeah. And I said, no, I'm still living in a cave. Yeah.
Sometimes there's always something to be said that the old ways are the best.
Yeah, and I always, you know who Anthony Waters, magic artist Anthony Waters is? Do you guys know Anthony? Yeah, I always used to yell at Anthony because he started doing digital stuff. I'm like, Anthony, when you go to a comic book convention, you can't sell the original art. I said, you have no originals to sell. And that was a running joke for us for years, so. His stuff is gorgeous and he sells a lot of prints and stuff, but you know, there's no original. He has some sketches and things that he'll sell, but he doesn't have any original paintings or anything. So, and that's how I made money for years, just going to comic book shows, just unload. I used to have what's called the Snowy Garage Sale, and I would just sell every freaking thing that I ever put a pencil on a piece of paper, any scrap of anything, you just sell it at a show. Literally go in, just literally piles of artwork just stacked on a table and people would rifle through it. Give me $10 for that and $50 for that one. And, yeah.
Just like put your signature on something and then it's going to be worth like, you know, 10 times whatever it was.
I don't know about that.
Well, you know, being optimistic here, okay?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a Christopher Rush story that's 100% true.
Okay.
Christopher Rush and I used to live in California at the same time, in the same city, on the same street, and we never knew each other back when we were in high school. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I lived on, so it was the same block. I lived on Fairmont, I can't remember his name. Can't remember that. It starts with an F. Fremont. And he lived on the street right behind me, but I lived at the very corner of the house on one end, and he lived in the very corner of the house on the other side of the street. So we lived on the same city block, on literally opposite ends of the same block for 3 or 4 years. And we never knew each other until we started painting magic cards. And I went to a comic book store with him once, and we were just sitting talking. And I said, you know, where'd you live? Where'd you go to high school? He went, he goes, I lived in Lancaster, California. Ever heard of it? And I said, I went there. He said, yeah, I went to Antelope Valley High. And I said, me too. I said, when'd you go there?
Never finished high school. Really?
Yeah, and he said, I said, where'd you live? And he told me, I said, did you live right behind, God, Gary, I can't remember. My father used to carpool with this guy, Gary, who lived on the same street, and that was Christopher Rush's best friend's pops. Yeah, and his daughter's name is Sierra, and that's my niece's name, and they were born in the same year. Yeah, is that freaky or what?
That's kind of spooky.
That's a true story.
Freaking wild. Wow, okay.
Wow.
Australia, you still there?
Okay, yeah,
there
yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm just basically tending to a million things at once, but that's kind of what I do. So, I mean, it's all kind of good, though. You know, I think your greatest fan also kind of, you know, hit you up when he found a little bit of secret details on a certain card.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Is that...
Oh, yes. Okay, so, Brian, I did tell you this. Way back when in the day, you know, when I was like 12 or 11 years old, and I thought I was like all this hot shit, and I'm like, oh my, I found a secret message in such and such card,
yeah.
And I want to tell you about it. Yeah, and then when I told you that, you kind of said that Hasbro was not necessarily very happy about that.
Yeah, I kind of got in trouble for that kind of stuff, yeah. I got yelled at pretty hardcore.
Oh, shit.
And so yeah. They put in a new policy that you can have no hidden messages in your cards.
Wow.
Yeah, I almost got fired for that one.
God damn. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, this particular card is called Chaos Card. And it's, you know, this guy who has, like, a shield and, you know, he's a 7-7 and... If you guys play Magic, this is like, you know, a legendary creature and stuff. But basically, on the shield, there was this message written in ancient runes. And it actually says something. And so the runes say, I am really me.
Yeah.
And that was it. You know, like, it's not even like that crazy or controversial or anything. Holy crap, like they were that mad at you for that? I mean,
well, I was also dating magic artist Nicola Leonard at the time. In fact, I got her into painting cards. And she actually is the one that got us both in trouble because she put something, she did this like this thieves tools belt or something like that. And she wrote in runes and said, it's mine, it's all mine. Like a Daffy Duck kind of thing, right? And we started putting messages, and we got in trouble. So we got a letter that said, okay, you guys need to knock this nonsense off, okay? And then it was... So I started it, and then Nicholas started doing it, and hers was more blatant than mine. I kind of hit it just a little bit, you know? But she's just right out there. So that's how we got yelled at. And they said, okay, you two need to knock this off or you're not going to paint cards anymore. I said, okay, you know. So, you know, that's how that happened.
I mean, like, I get it kind of because it was, you know, like, you know, you're not supposed to put, you know, your own secretive agenda or whatever.
Sure.
In this particular company. But... It was just some clever
stuff. Yeah, I mean, I understand if you were putting curse words or something political or something religious, you know, there we go. But just to say something kind of fun, I thought was okay. And nobody caught it at the time. So.
Oh, dude, I totally did that. And that's why I emailed you, even though, like, you know, little 11-year-old me. Was like, oh my goodness, I discovered a secret and I have to tell the world about it. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so cool.
Well, I'm glad. See, it made your day. That's what I wanted. I wanted kids to find it and go, oh, that's funny.
I did, yeah. I was like, you know, because like I said, at the time, there was no internet. There was no anything. So I'm like, well, what do I do? I don't know. I felt like I saw stumbled upon this great secret or whatever. I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, it's I wrote that on there, and here's the story behind it. I proposed an idea to Wizards of the Coast that I wanted to do three cards, and it was kind of silly. It was called, one was called Summon Mean Guy, the second one was called Summon Meaner Guy, and the third one was called Summon Meanest Guy. And wow, it would just be one dude who just looked more like a more pipe hitting version of the first one, you know, just keep going down the line. And Jesper thought it was funny, but it didn't go through the brass, so I didn't get to do that. So when they said Chaos Lord, I had the meanest guy in mind, and so I put him, that was Summon Mean, and that's why it says I am really mean.
I think that's like super clever though, because like totally embodies exactly like what you were thinking about.
Agreed.
You know?
Yeah.
Great.
Like, it's like, you don't remember that one instance, like, I mean, if you can get in trouble for doing that, what about the freaking Disney guys who puts, you know, that little Easter egg in that Lion King movie in the Constellations?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those, look, this stuff goes on a lot, and I think you do that kind of stuff, you should get fired. If you do something kind of fun or a little bit silly, a reprimand is, you know, but some guys have put some really, you know, Rob Bliss got really, he got fired from Magic because he put wieners in everything.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so he got in trouble for that. So, yeah, so, you know, he got a little bit trouble for that one, so. Yeah, there was some Magic artist that just got a little carried away with stuff. I tried to be fun and not do anything that was, you know, filthy or angry or anything like that. Just something kind of silly and put something fun in there. So.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, like, to be totally clever. Like, you know, because, you know, who honestly could decipher, you know, ancient runes on a shield?
Yeah.
You know, no one's really going to do that.
Yeah, I did another one on Disenchant. It was, it says the word magic on a sword. And it's, of course, the magic lettering is coming off into the armored gloved hand, right? So he's literally sucking magic off the enchanted item. So I thought that was kind of clever.
No, dude, I have that card in my Sarah Angel deck. Wow, I've played with this so many times. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it says the word magic on it, right there.
Oh, shit. That's cool.
Yeah, see, now you got two of them.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. Wow, okay.
See, I told you this was going to be fun.
I don't know.
I
took
the first one, but the second one, maybe you told me when I was, like, 11, but that was like 15 years ago, so
yeah.
But damn. And honestly, if I were you and I was like working for this kind of company and I was like commissioned to like draw art stuff, I would totally hide like secret messages and stuff.
Oh no, yeah. You're basically the secret indoctrination squad.
Well, when I was working for the ad agency, we put secret messages in the newspaper articles all the time, newspaper ads.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, so my coworker Roberta liked this guy Tom in California. She met him at a convention or something. And so we figured out this little code that we would put in the newspaper ads that would come out every single week. And so we would sneak those things in there, and no one caught it. We did this for the better part of a year. Yeah, so I was well versed in secret. You know, I could have been a spy cryptographer or something. I don't know, during World War II or whatever. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I'd already been doing that stuff for years, and so I thought, oh, this would be fun. I'll sneak a couple into some magic cards. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, things like these, you could pretty much, you know, start rewarding people if they actually find you your secret message. Like, $100 if you find this and a free signed Magic card.
Yeah, that would be actually. It's a good idea, except for the $100 part.
No.
Yeah. Oh, you're the first one to translate that. Oh, you owe me $100. Yeah. No.
Well, anyway, I mean, just say, you know, in exchange, I'll give you the original print instead of, you know, paying $100 for it. But...
Oh, yeah, but... give you the original sketch or something.
But, no, it's pretty much a problem for the, you know, if they're literally going to do nothing but invest in the, you know, like, and then you just basically sell it off and, you know, pawn your work for extra money, but hey.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm working on my own stuff now, so I guess I could start putting secret messages back into my stuff, so, yeah.
Do it.
Okay. All right. I'll start doing it. Yeah. I'll start getting some runes and maybe some other ancient alphabets and start throwing some stuff in there and see who catches it.
Yeah, maybe like some hieroglyphics or something.
Yeah, I did something in hieroglyphics just recently, actually, but I don't know how to read any of it. And so I'll have to find a hieroglyphic alphabet that has sounds,
yeah,
that goes with sounds, and do something with that, if I do anything like Egyptian or something, so.
Neat.
Yeah.
But just to kind of, you know, we'll push this a little forward, though, before we kind of move on, do you kind of see yourself, like, since when did you leave working for Magic the Gathering, and do you kind of see yourself, like, ever returning there, or do you just kind of, you know, look at the current state of you know, the property and say, I'd rather keep my hands away from that?
Well, I never moved away. I mean, they just quit using me. The last card I did was like a wall,
mm-hmm.
And that was like 3 or 4 years ago, and they haven't used me since. I know the art director very, very well, or the head guy there, so if I really wanted a card, I could call him and go, can you give me something, and he probably would, but I don't want to use my friendship as an excuse to, you know, paint. It's not a good idea, and my stuff really doesn't really work with the art style that they have now. Kind of everybody kind of paints the same for the most part. It's rare exceptions. All the new kids that are coming in, all of their computer digital stuff looks very similar. It's hard to tell one artist from another. Again, rare exception.
And honestly, I think that's very unfortunate. I mean, like, my dude, I grew up, like, on, you know, vintage artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't start, you know, playing Magic until I was, like, maybe 10 or 11 years old. Like, my dad introduced me to the game.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, so I'm very familiar with different artists. You know, like, you... Christopher Rush, Amy Weber, Drew Tucker, you know, all those people who made, like, the original, you know, kind of artwork.
Yeah.
And it was very inspiring. But now that, you know, I see, like, the direction that they're going, and like you said, you know, everything's kind of, like, the same-ish, you know, it's kind of like digital, kind of weird-looking, not so... I don't want to say, like, you know, not as creative, because, like, it is, but it's not that kind of...
Yeah, everything to me looks like a, they look like the old book covers for fantasy novels back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Okay, every right. single thing looks like that. When I made cards that look like they did the thing, like, you know, explosions and goblins' heads were coming off and, you know, fights. I did I don't know how many fight scenes I did with, like, you know, 600 dudes in there. And I remember I went to Japan one time and some Japanese kid walks up to me and he goes, Snowdy-san, why do you hate goblins? I said, well, what? He goes, why do you hate goblins? I said, I don't hate them. He goes, but here's a card. His head is coming off. Here's a card. He's being killed horribly. And he's showing me all this goblin death that I did. And I said, look, kid, I said, I don't hate, they just tell me what to draw. I just, you know, I guess I'm the goblin hater. And he kind of didn't get it. He thought, a lot of people think that the artists come up with the card descriptions, and we don't, for the most part. The art director usually gives it to you.
But, like, fiction, yeah.
Yeah, but if a lot of times they would say, give me a fight scene between this and this. And I'm like, okay, I got to do a fight scene, 50 people in it. But I would throw in some real violence, you know? And I would make it a little exciting. And because my artwork can be on a little bit cartoonish at times, it comes across as almost like a comic book page or something. So exactly. It makes it fun to look at.
That's one of the reasons why I think that you're, you know, so iconic and stuff and very memorable, you know, like compared to a lot of other people. Like, if you look at the older cards in Magic and stuff, like, you can tell what artist made what card.
Yeah.
And that's really awesome. You know, like, that's just how it is. I mean, at least, you know, back then. But now it's, I mean, like you said, it's kind of like the same-ish kind of.
Like the same-ish thing with no soul, no wow factor. I guess that's kind of what just irks you, though.
I mean, well, the art is actually stunningly good. I mean,
yeah, quality production values, yes.
It's very well done.
Yes.
But wow factor and excitement is down to nothing.
Mm.
You don't look at a car and go, holy crap, look at that, man. That just you look at that and you go, oh, my gosh, that's a gorgeous painting. But you don't go, holy crap, that goblin's head's coming off. You know?
Like, yeah. Like,
I need to get four more of these. Okay? You know? There's no excitement. There's no, I don't know. You know?
Yeah,
and
like I said.
I can't sit there and rag on those guys because they're all, most of those guys are much better than I am as far as talent.
But, yeah, like I said, it's like saying, you know, no lack of soul in the artwork, but that's kind of on them. But, yeah, just one last question before we shift forward. If anybody was trying to break into, you know, trading card game illustration, what kind of advice would you give them when they're just trying to, you know, get in or set foot in the door?
Do your own card game.
Hey.
No, I'm dead serious. Print on demand is so cheap. You can make your own stuff. And make your own card game and have your own fan following. I mean, it's just as difficult to try to get into the industry as it is to make your own stuff.
But
I'm not kidding you.
But with your own stuff, you basically, you know, you have all the freedom you could possibly ever want. So
of course, yeah. Which is, you know, that's kind of the direction I'm moving in today. So, which we'll get into that toward the end of the show. You know?
Yeah. That's actually a really good segue, because I was looking at others' projects that you've been working on, and, but dude, like, you've been working on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm not lazy.
I never said that. Absolutely. I mean, holy crap. Like, you have your own business, and you developed war machines and horns. Wow, I mean, like...
Well, I was only the co-founder and you know, that Matt Wilson was the other guy. And then we worked a lot with McVeigh and this other guy, Jason, and a couple other co-workers and stuff all had ideas, too. So I can't take credit for all of that, just part of it.
It's a team effort,
yeah.
Just very curious about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are these games all about? And if you want to, you know, get into that.
Yeah. Yeah, do you guys want to get into the War Machine song?
Oh, absolutely. And that's, this is your baby after all, so we'll go.
No, it wasn't, yeah, a co-baby. Yeah, so War Machine was developed because I had a friend who owned a video game company. His name is Joey. And Matt Wilson and I started doing D&D supplements when the open gaming license came out. We did Witchfire Trilogy, and we did Monstronomicon and that kind of stuff. Privateer Press we started, right?
Yeah.
And we started doing that kind of stuff. And then Matt had this idea for a war game, and I said, well, I know Joey, let me call him up and we'll make a video game out of it, because at the time war Warcraft was popular. And I don't mean World of Warcraft, I mean the old Warcraft game, you know? You build up an army and you're chopping wood and, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know if you guys have ever played that old version.
No, but I do know about World of Warcraft, and I know that you also worked on, you know, stuff with that as well.
Yeah, I did a few of those cards, and I don't really like that license. I don't. It's very difficult to work on those, and I really don't like it. Even though I know guys that work there, I know the art director there, and he's really cool. And he always goes out of his way to help me with anything. I mean, Jeremy, if I don't know if you're listening, but God bless you, brother.
Probably can send it to him.
yeah. And so I called Joey and I says, well, how do we do a video game? He says, well, it's going to cost you about $1.2 million to do the game, and it's going to cost you another $10 million to promote it. And I said, well, yeah, I don't have that kind of money. And there was a guy who worked at Wizards of the Coast named Bob Watts. And he was in charge of their miniatures department, and Matt Wilson knew him very well. And he says, you guys should do a miniatures game because there's money in minis. And so we did. I took out a loan against my condo, and we started War Machine. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And here it is today.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And then a couple of years in, that I left because it was not a fun place to work. And so I left and I sold all my interest to War Machine back to Matt Wilson. He owns all of it now. I don't own any of it anymore.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And was Hordes part of that as well?
Yeah, Hordes came out about a year before I left. Yeah, well, we have been working on it about a year and a half before I left. And right when it came out, or right after it came out, or something like that, right before it came out, that's when I left the company. I can't remember the exact time. Yeah.
Very. But now, since then, though, you've is War Machine basically still up and going strong? You're still producing any new content for it? What are we expecting?
No. I don't. I haven't done a War Machine drawing since the day I left. Yeah, I don't work. I don't do any freelance. I don't work there. Nothing. I don't really pay any attention to him. I have a friend who used to work there. In fact, he was our very first employee. His name is Rob. Mm-hmm. And he keeps in tab. He still plays. He still collects some of the minis, and he goes to some of the tournaments and stuff. And so he tells me any kind of, you know, War Machine news or whatever. And we go out to dinner a couple times a year. We have the same birthday, so we always celebrate our birthdays together every year. So we always keep each other up to date on all the scuttlebutt in the game industry, and he's the War Machine go-to. So he tells me anything I need to know about that stuff.
On another same kind of thing though, when you basically were coming up with these sorts of things, also like designing all the art, all the characters, all the you know, how you know, do they actually pester you? Like, do they have to say, hey, can you make this simpler? It's too hard to translate into a miniature figurine. Do they go anything like that?
No, because the figure sculptors always understood that, and they would come to me and go, hey, you know, we can't put this on there. Does this look okay? And you go, oh yeah, that's cool. Because you can only do so much, and when you're designing an actual figure and doing a turnaround on it, you have to keep in mind that it has to be sculptable, you know, to a certain degree. It can't be too detailed or too fragile pieces. It has to. So, you know, you got to be on the ball with that too. And I never had a problem with any of our sculptors ever. I mean, I got along with the sculpting crew better than I did with just about anybody else.
So basically you can literally design a character to your heart's content. And, you know, is there any real limits on how you, and, you know, or are they going to say, oh, it's too over detailed, can't do it?
Well, sometimes they'll say, well, this piece is too skinny, mm-hmm. or this pose doesn't work because we can't, you know, we have to pull this arm off and we have to pull the head off and that's too many pieces and, you know, things like that. But other than you just redraw it, you just fix it, you work with them. So I worked with sculptors at Privateer, and then when I was working at Flying Frog the last 5.5 years. I worked right next to our main sculptor, and we just got along like a house on fire, you know. So if he had any problems, he'd come into my office and go, what the hell is this? I don't understand what this is doing. This pose doesn't work. And we'd just work on it, fix it, and everything was cool. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm pretty easy to get along with overall, so, you know. I just want to make progress, you know. I don't want to argue, and if somebody else has a better idea, I just go, "Hey, it's a better idea. Great, let's do that. Let's get going. I got bills to pay. I have beer to drink when I get home, you know."
Exactly. Yeah.
I got a bottle of wine waiting for me. Yeah.
I think at this stage you probably might just crack it open, considering how much effort it took just to get here.
Well, I'm already halfway through my bottle of Monte Antico. So, yeah, and so this is going to be a very lively show.
Well, if I was calling you at a later hours, I'd basically join y'all in the drunkenness.
Well, let's not get that carried away.
I mean, I don't know. I was just kind of curious, like, your audience, you know, told you a bunch of stuff, maybe, you know, it didn't directly come to you, maybe it came to, like, your superiors or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's a lot of people, you know, are saying, I want this character to look like such and such. Wouldn't they tell you to do that? Or would you, like, take that into consideration when you're, like, painting or doing something?
Well, as an artist, you have bosses and art directors, right? They tell you what they want. It's not the audience. My fans don't tell me what I want, what they want. Kind of now they do, because I have a lot of fans that'll email me and say, can you paint me a picture of this? This is what I want. And I'll paint it and mail it to them. And, you know, they have an original piece of artwork. But when you work for a company, you have an art director and he tells you what he wants. And you draw it until he's happy, because he's paying the bills. You know, when I worked for Flying Frog, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the board game Shadows of Brimstone.
Can't say I am, but yeah, go on. There's a story I can tell coming.
Yeah, it's a really freaking cool game, and I worked on that since the concept of it, and they would tell me, okay, we need these characters, we want them to look kind of like this, and we need X number of monsters. This one has to be small. This one has to be big. This one has to be extra big. And, you know, you do that and you keep drawing it until they're happy. And then it's passed off to the sculptor to make a mini out of it. So, and then I have to paint a picture of the monster and paint fight scenes and all sorts of other crazy stuff. Yeah. Oh, and you said you had a Shadows of Brimstone story?
No, I don't think so. I just can sense you had a story to tell.
Oh, no, I have a million stories I can tell about Shadows of Brimstone, but yeah, but it was a fun game to work on, and I just had a blast with it, and it's really cool. It's basically a dungeon crawl adventure where it's cowboys meet Cthulhu monsters. It is freaking awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really fun, so... Yeah, I recommend, if you guys like board games, you guys will not get bored with this one. Yeah, this is really fun.
Oh, get bored?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice pickup. We got Shecky Green from the Catskills over here.
That'll go really far.
But, yep. But.
That's pretty cool. I didn't even know that you worked on.
Yeah, I designed basically all the characters and all the monsters for the most part. You know, obviously you have an art director and he tells you what he wants. He will occasionally do a sketch of something, but as far as the finished drawings, I did every single one of them. With, again, rare exception, there was a couple of things right toward the end, right before I quit, where my art director did all the designs for the characters, and I didn't do any of them. So I just painted the finishes, but he designed them from scratch, and he did the drawings of them. the finished drawings.
I got it.
Yeah, and I didn't do any of those. And there was a couple of creatures where I did some rough sketches, and by the time it got to the sculpting department, the sculptor and the art director had, you know, added a bunch of stuff, and they made the monster better, and it was, you know, it was my idea, but they actually made it look twice as good than the sketch that I gave them. So, you know, I can't say that I designed everything. I just designed almost everything as far as the finished look. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So don't do that then.
Yeah, like that's how it is sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's always a collaborative effort. You know, you're never, unless you're writing and drawing everything yourself, you're going to get input from other people, period. That's just the way it is.
You know? I have a little kind of question. When you advertise, when you advertise tabletop games, like if you go to like any of these like conventions, like Geeks, Anime, Gaming, and that, how much interest do you get out of it, like from passers-by, and two, is it kind of like an open table sort of deal?
Like comic book conventions and stuff like that. I haven't been to one of these open geek con kind of things, but comic book conventions I always did very well. And then I go to a lot of magic card signing events. There's what's the outfit? Channel Fireball does a whole bunch of these things. And there's a new one up here in Washington State called Battleground. And they just did one earlier this year, and it went gangbusters. I mean, they did a fantastic job, these guys. So they're doing another one this November. So this November, I'm going to be up signing cards here in Everett, Washington, which is a little up north from Seattle. And, yeah, those guys are aces, and they put on a great show, and they're going to do another one because they had a success story on their hands. So, yeah, but I'm rarely do I have, a couple minutes to rub together where no one's there. And if they do, then I'd sit there and I draw stuff and get attention, and then I'm signing more cards.
You know, and speaking of drawing kind of stuff, where we come from, like people come up to our artists, and then they just say, hey, can you, they put their money on the table and say, hey, can you draw me a custom artwork? Is that kind of the experience that goes for you as well?
Yeah, I get quite a bit of that. It's like, can you do a sketch of this or can you do a sketch of that? Like, I had to do a sketch of Doctor Who a couple of years ago, the latest one. And so I got out my telephone. I didn't know what he looked like. And he wanted it on the back of a card. And so I did it. By the way, he left the table. He never picked it up. I still have that card laying around. So
how much are you selling it for?
Yeah, so if you're listening, I still have that card, and you already paid for it, so, come pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, not gonna lie, if I did see you at a con, I would totally want you to sign one of my cards.
No, okay, sure.
Also,
that'd be freaking awesome.
Of course, that's my job, and by the way, I love my fans, because if it wasn't for you guys, I'd be sweeping floors somewhere, or I'd still be working at that effed up ad agency or something. You know, I don't want to, or some crap hole ad agency. Yeah.
Or maybe, working at a newspaper rag, which is probably even worse.
Oh, yeah. They see, that's the thing. I mean, very few newspapers and magazines and book companies have any artists on staff anymore.
Like, I mean, and I think if you look at, the cartoonists who basically, sketch up things like politics and so on, you'd be like, ugh, really? This is so unflattering.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's a couple of famous political cartoonists that live here in the greater Seattle area. And their stuff is actually really funny, so it looks like they're having fun with it. Mm-hmm. But if I had to do that, I don't know if I'd have very much fun.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, because one, it's politics. And two, well,
yeah.
Somebody...
Yeah.
With...
Two, it's politics. Yeah. Three, it's politics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Strike three, you're out.
Yeah, so piece of advice, do not become a political cartoonist for a newspaper rag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess not. Unless you like, you know, some people really like that stuff. It's just, you know.
No. The best way to do it is to do it on Twitter. You'll probably find more success there.
Yeah. Yeah, but you see, you still have to produce the artwork, though.
Yeah. And that takes away your soul.
It can.
Well, but I think at this stage you'll probably move to like more, you know, more exciting things though, because I was told as well from my co-host that you were you had some kind of involvement in World of Warcraft.
No, not a lot. I did, I don't know, 5 or 6 cards for them over the years.
I'm not saying cards. I'm saying like you were an author for like several books.
No, I never wrote anything. I don't know where you got that information.
Oh, so you're just basically involved in some of the World of Warcraft cards, or just?
Yeah, I just painted some of the World of Warcraft cards. I was never a book author.
Ah.
You must be thinking. No, you must be thinking about my buddy Ben Thompson, who is a book writer, a history book writer, who writes Badass of the Week and Badass History books. And I've done a ton of work for him.
Right, like you basically were involved in like book covers or that sort of thing, like or mid-book illustrations.
Yeah, I did illustrations in 3 of his books. No, I only did artwork. I don't write. But my buddy Ben Thompson is a writer, and we've been working together for 10 years.
Okay, well, that is news to me. I honestly thought that you were like an author of like several books and stuff.
No, I just did the pictures in them.
No, it's just like then somewhere on the preface, like he just sees your name on it, and he's like, "Oh, this guy must have written it." And I'm like, "No,
no, I'm not a writer. I just draw stuff."
Yeah, he's like, "Yeah, probably must have misread the, you know, the."
What you should do then is talk to the guys who work for like Wikipedia, and like, you know.
Really, I'm on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Okay, well, all right, that explains stuff, because Wikipedia is about as useful as a... Yeah.
A bunch of other stuff that says that you're an author.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll have to correct that. You guys are hearing this first now. I'm not an author.
Well, looks like we basically debunked Wikipedia just here and now.
Yeah, we just all 3 of us collectively flipped off with Wikipedia.
Okay, well.
What does it say on Wikipedia about me?
It just says Ryan Snowdy is an artist whose work has appeared in role-playing games.
Yes.
Ryan Snowdy from Fiber T Press with friend Matt Wilson and writer Matt Staroshik to publish their D20 books. Snowdy and Wilson produced the covers and interior art for Privateer's first adventures, published in 2001. Next line.
That's true.
Ryan Snowdy was the penciler for the classic Star Wars The Early Adventures comics, as well as one of the illustrators.
I was not a penciler. I was only an inker and a cleanup guy.
Well, that... Semantics.
I did do some penciling. I did do some penciling as a cleanup guy. But I wouldn't call that actually penciling. I'd call it cleanup.
It does say that you were an author...
I can, right now I'm just rereading it, or maybe you must have been an outdated version. Next line, it says, for the Knights of the Old Republic campaign guide, his Dungeons & Dragons work includes books such as Deities and Demigods, Liberus Mortis, and Magic of Faerun.
Yes, that is true. My art does appear in those books. Because I did, I painted a picture of Cartoolmac. For Deities and Demigods, and I did art in all 3 of those books.
Okay, so that might be where my confusion is.
Oh, so you got a little confuzzled.
When you look up your name, like, you know, on search engines and whatnot, does show you, being a credited person for especially such books. But...
I guess now we just kind of have to...
Okay. That's
all good.
I guess that doesn't mean that you actually wrote them. But
no, no, no. Those were produced by Wizards of the Coast that when they bought TSR, and they were doing all that D&D stuff right after third edition.
Okay. Yeah,
that's when I did that stuff. Yeah.
And
I'm not necessarily wrong.
No, I did work on those books. You are correct. I did Vecna, too, and some other stuff in the Monster Manual. I worked on the Monster Manual, too. It's 3 to 5 pictures.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the last line of your entry says, Snowdy is created with inking some of the early Girl Genius comics.
Yes, that's true. I inked the first 3.
And the last of all is pretty much a statement on your, you know, for his work on the Magic the Gathering collectible card game. So that's already covered. But
yeah, that's all true.
Yeah. But all
so
of that.
I guess it's, yeah, a matter of deciphering it as opposed to, they got it right. So I guess I have to unflip off Wikipedia.
Too bad I can't go through the edit, you know, the mm-hmm. edit history. But,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, all that stuff is true. Yeah. What do you guys want to talk about now?
So in that sense, though, since you're in the Dungeons & Dragons, do you ever, apart from that, do you ever basically do more than, you know, do book designs? Because that there's a lot, that franchise is quite expansive.
Yes, well, that leads to the new project I'm working on. So my buddy Ben Thompson, the history book writer I was telling you about earlier, we started something just a few weeks ago called Dungeon Mastery with Ben and Brian, where if you go onto YouTube and you look up Dungeon Mastery with Ben and Brian, we release a new video every Friday. So today is a new one where we sit down and we talk about the stuff that we're doing, we're working on. And if you're a Patreon subscriber for only $1 a month, that's right, kids, you heard me, $1 a month. You get our PDF downloads of our D&D supplements. And I tell you, what you're getting is better than anything Wizards of the Coast is producing now for D&D.
Oh, shameless.
I shit you not. This stuff is because Ben is a brilliant writer. I mean, the guy's a genius. So his writing style is awesome. I'm doing some of the best art I've done in years. We're doing some awesome stuff, really fun, really exciting things. You can watch the videos on YouTube for free, but if you go onto the Patreon and subscribe, you get our PDFs, and some of them are like almost mini books. We got 2 or 3 of them up now, and you will not be disappointed in the quality of these things. If you're a D&D player, or if you play Pathfinder, because they can. It's generic enough to where you can plug it into either one of those systems, you're going to be having the time of your life. Yeah. And so that's what I'm doing now. So I'm painting my wiener off every day, working on that stuff. And then a bunch of other freelance stuff. I got a ton of other things working on. I'll tell you about those too before I go. I have to plug all my stuff before the show ends.
Don't you worry though. We've still got a couple little minutes here on the clock though. Okay. But while we're still kind of here, how far does your involvement into Dungeons and Dragons go for?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
How long have you been involved with Dungeons and Dragons work?
I gotta go. Almost 20 years, maybe 20 years, because I did some stuff in Dragon Magazine a really long time ago.
20 years?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't do a lot. I did some...
Really that old.
Dungeons & Dragons, I started playing D&D when I was 15, back in 1981 or 1980. Yeah, 1980. I was 15. I started playing with my buddy Chad and Vic. So Chad and Vic, if you guys are listening, you started me down this path, you guys. And it had been out since the 70s, you know, early 70s.
Okay.
And I started playing then, and then I got involved in it after doing some magic cards. And then when Wizards of the Coast bought Dungeons and Dragons, I talked to the art directors and I said, hey, I want to work on it. And they said, well, why don't you do some articles for Dragon Magazine? And I said, okay. So I did some artwork for them. I did, I don't know, a few drawings, a couple of paintings. And then I did some stuff for the rule books, because that's when Dawn Murin took, she was the art director at the time, and she worked, her and her boyfriend, Dana Knutson, had worked for TSR. And so they got absorbed there. And I got along with them great. So they're like, oh yeah, let's get Brian to draw some stuff. So they hired me a lot. And I did a bunch of stuff for some of those books that we talked about earlier. And then after that, they got other people involved. And at that time, I was working a privateer, so I didn't really have any time to work for anybody else. So, you know, I kind of got out of the loop for D&D. But this is, Ben and I, what we're doing is we're doing D&D stuff now. And it's our own stuff. And you will not be disappointed in the quality, I guarantee that. And if you are, I'll give you your money back. And I'm not kidding.
I'm not going to take that back, because I guarantee I'm going to be impressed by your artwork.
Yeah, you guys are going to love it. Yeah.
I think I would too. I'm a sucker for that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and just to read Ben is such a good writer, and his stuff is so funny, because he puts a lot of humor into his writing. It's so over the top, it's almost like watching a cartoon. But his writing is so good, it's just a pleasure to just sit down and read through it. So even if you don't play D&D, just to look at the pictures and read the stuff is just, you're just going to have a barrel of monkeys. It's just going to be really, really fun. Yeah, Dungeon Mastery with Ben and Brian. Patreon, go on there. Subscribe. You will not be disappointed. Best $1 a month you'll ever spend.
Is there any kind of release date that you can look forward to?
Yeah, every Friday we do a new video, and every couple of weeks we have a new item that's up there on the Patreon. We have a new PDF. And again, Patreon subscribers, they just get the PDFs. The first one is a brand new character called the Thracian Gladiator. I have the artwork for that is on my Facebook site. Mm-hmm. I've sold some of it. I sold most of it. The second one was an adventure called Dead Man's Bounty. It's kind of a pirate-themed adventure. And the third one up is a wizard lab, where you go in and you mix up your own potions. And it's just, it's funner than a barrel of monkeys. A barrel of monkeys and a couple of bottles of Monte Antico. Yeah.
Both in the same room while having the Dungeons and Dragons book that you PDF that you've got.
Excuse me, what was that?
Both at the same time and with the PDF that you've been making.
Yes.
How about that? Correct. At the same time.
At the same time. In fact, you'll be so overwhelmed you won't know what to do with yourself.
You might be able to pass out from the awesomeness.
Yes, you might feel a little faint. You might want to have some smelling salts laying around to have your buddy wake you up after you imbibe on our cool PDFs and videos. Yeah. So.
But one kind of last thing though.
Yes.
Just where do you see the direction of Dungeons and Dragons heading towards?
I think there's going to be more people like Ben and I producing their own content. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like Netflix. People are still going to buy the core books, but they're not going to watch mainstream TV anymore. Right. They're going to watch Netflix. They're going to watch stuff on YouTube. They're going to produce their own content. And that's where I think D&D is going. And that's really exciting. Because, back in the day, you had to buy a license or you had to get permission. But now with the open gaming license, anyone can produce their own supplements, right? Some of them are going to be good. Some of them are going to be bad. And some of them are going to be spectacular, like the stuff Ben and I are doing.
Well, obviously, you're fucking awesome.
Well, thank you. Your check is in the mail. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, most definitely can look forward to that, though. And
Dude, I'm doing a radio interview. Nice. Yeah. Okay, I can't
Hold on a second, guys. My buddy Dan is tapping on the window.
I'll just hang out here for a while.
Okay, yeah, we'll be done in maybe 15, 20 minutes.
That's actually five.
Okay. All right. That's five. My buddy Dan wants me to go out and have a cigar with him, but I need to finish up with.
That's
all
right. They will give you like probably like two, less than five, so we're good though.
Okay.
Just kind of one last question though. Have you ever, have you ever had people kind of draw like, animals who are both man and animal, like anatomically human, but just with the features of an animal, like in any.
Oh, anthropomorphic stuff?
Yes, anthropomorphics.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
What Joel's saying is, if you were to become an animal, what do you think it would be?
Ugh, for Pete's sake, I don't know. Probably some kind of underwater critter. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Who knows?
Maybe like a whale or a
dolphin. I think somebody with your crassness and that sort of stuff, I think a shark might suit you.
No, because I'm not a predator. Because I like dolphins. Dolphins are cool because they're cute, they're nice, they're happy. Everybody loves them. Whales are cool. Crabs are cool because they're so interesting. But again, they're like cockroaches of the sea. So, yeah, I don't know. See, you stumped me. I'll have to think about that one.
I do like undersea creatures too. One of my favorite animals are jellyfish because they're just so amazing.
And I literally, you know, kind of had a distaste of them because I think something very similar to one of those literally killed our national icon.
Oh, and you guys have poisonous jellyfish down in you, Australia.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why I said killed a national icon.
Oh, yeah.
I know, but
you know, all these evil, crazy creatures that are going to kill you, you know. And
hey, why not maybe, you know, try and spend a bit more time in the true Australia?
You know, I need to come down and visit Australia because I have a buddy that lives there. He lives in the New South Wales.
Yeah, yeah. It's my neck of the woods.
Oh, there we go. He's begging me. He's like, Brian, you got to come down and visit me. And I said, okay, Dave. So, yeah. Now I have two people I can visit in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just give us a buzz if you're ever curious.
Yeah.
One of these days, yeah. It's going to be on your list. But...
yeah, it's got to be on my list. You are correct.
Well, I guess in that sense, though, I think this, despite everything that's kind of happened, like all this, you know, all this, we never worked, and, you know, this thing that never worked out, I think pretty much, for what it's worth, I think we pretty much enjoyed all of this. We enjoyed having you on board.
Well, thank you, guys. I had a really, really good time, and I would love to be back on your show someday, maybe next year or something. I think that'd be really fun.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe this time, maybe next time. You might not be as much of a Luddite.
What? Well, I don't know. Not next week, but anyway, I had a great time, you guys. You guys are a lot of fun, and thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Hey.
It was an amazing time to have you on here. Like I said before, I'm just such a big fan, and I'm just really glad that you're able to come on here. And just like,
so
this is really cool.
Excellent, fun. Well, now you guys have my Facebook site, so you guys can chat with me anytime you want.
And I really enjoy like the artwork that you've put up there, and like, so we can.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
There's a lot more to come. I'll be throwing up. In fact, tonight or tomorrow, I'm putting up some new artwork.
Yeah.
And I'll be putting stuff up every week, every other week. Of D&D stuff that Ben and I are doing. So I have a ton of it, and I don't think you guys are going to be disappointed.
I'm looking forward to it, man.
Likewise.
I'm definitely going to advertise that.
Cool.
Yeah, but other than that, though, I guess it's time it's rude of us to kind of keep you up while your buddy's waiting outside. So you can pretty much just go out and, you know, enjoy the cancer sticks.
Yeah. Cigars don't cause cancer. Only cigarettes do. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
That's right. Well, thank you guys again. Had a blast. Call me anytime. Chat with me on Facebook anytime. And you guys have a good day, okay?
Absolutely, though. I mean, we look forward to seeing your future plans.
Yes, thank you.
It's been an honor.
Okay.
See you guys later.
Thank you.